Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, episode number 63. I am back. I know I've taken a little bit of a hiatus. I've started to get some emails and comments from listeners, which on one hand is kind of fun because aside from the folks in my flight group or the occasional emails that I get, I have no idea who downloads it. I can see my download stats in the podcast technology, but I don't know who anyone is unless you're on my mailing list. So sometimes it's fun to hear people complain and wonder, where have I been? So where have I been? Well, to be honest, so, you know, my other hat is the executive director of the Global Workspace Association, and we had a lot of fun with our conference this year. We were scheduled to be in Miami, and Hurricane Irma came flying through, so we had to reschedule. And long story short, we ended up 2 months later in Brooklyn, and while the conference turned out to be a really good strategic move, it was a lot of work to replan. Conferences in general, hats off to anybody who plans events. They are a ton of work and a ton of detail. More than I think, it's one of those things, there's so much on the back end that you can't see on the front end that goes into those things. And it's just like weekends and lots of hours and behind the scenes work. And removing that thing was like planning the whole thing over again, because it just logistically everything had to be redone. So that was in November, and I kind of needed some recovery time after that and time to kind of just regroup and reprioritize and figure out, you know, sort of what's important. But some exciting things have come out of that. We hired an association manager who's going to do the conference this year. So, of course, I will be very involved in setting the agenda and speakers and sponsors and that kind of thing. But she's going to do a lot of the background work, which gives me some more time to focus on the things that I'm really passionate about, like this podcast. And I, you know, I've been thinking a lot about kind of how to spend my time and how to focus. And I love doing this work. You hear me talk about the flight groups that I launched this year, and those have gone really well. And I keep saying this, but it's like, those are my favorite conversations that I have every month with the groups of folks that are starting co-working spaces. So kind of in that vein, I am starting a new project in 2018 that I'm excited to announce. So it's called Co-working Startup School. It expands on the flight group concept, which I piloted this year and has gone amazingly well. So it's for anyone starting a co-working space, but the format is kind of like the flight group on steroids. So the flight group is a monthly call with a peer group and me facilitating and bringing in experts as needed. But one thing I've identified through going through this is there are a lot of topics that are very common across, you know, for folks that are starting spaces, which makes a lot of sense. Some of those I talk about on the podcast, and some of those really warrant classes and, you know, actual kind of education and walkthroughs versus just conversations on the flight groups. So I'm constantly kind of making notes about resources I want to create and ways that I want to present the content that I think would be really helpful for folks starting spaces. And, you know, the other thing is some people just work better by getting all of the, like a really good overview of everything that needs to be done, you know, kind of a big picture of what it takes to open a space all at once. So the format that we're going to do for Coworking Startup School is we're going to start with a one-day virtual class that gives you a comprehensive overview of what you need to know about operating a coworking space, from determining your product mix to identifying the tech and tools you need, kind of A to Z. And then we're going to follow it up with 3 power hour workshops to kind of check off the to-do list, some of the big sales funnel items to really set you up for success. So things like setting up your Google My Business, getting your first email list building approaches set up, setting up your automated email drip campaigns, things like that. And then once the full day and then the 3 additional power hour sessions are completed, then we'll drop all of the participants into flight groups for the remainder of the year so that they can continue to get the monthly dedicated expert and peer support on launching and growing their business. And that's the time that, you know, they can ask follow-up questions and address things that are coming up sort of just in time. So then we're also going to do a big one-day event for everyone who's in the Coworking Startup School where all the participants can come and be in the same place and enjoy more speakers, some workshops, and just time to build relationships with the other folks in the school. We had some of the flight crew members come to the GWA conference this year, and I loved it because I got to meet each other and connect. And, you know, you see each other on, we use Zoom for our flight group calls and then Slack, and, you know, you get to interact, but it's totally different when you meet people in person. So I'm excited to make that happen. So if you're interested in that program, it's called Coworking Startup School. So text the phrase CS School to 44222. And I will also include a link in the show notes, which are at everythingcoworking.com/63. So now on to the show. So this is a little bit of a different kind of show. And speaking of my hiatus, I have a long list of shows that I'm recording, getting all set up. So we'll be back on a regular schedule. And I have episodes on Steve King and Juicy just released, some co-working research, which I'm really excited to talk about for next week. And then we're going to dive into some sessions on sales funnels and marketing. So kind of some good nuts and bolts stuff coming up. So, but this one's kind of a little fuzzier because it's the beginning of the year and everybody's kind of thinking about goals and, you know, kind of how to be a better you in 2018. So I thought I would share a list of a couple of my favorite books and resources from 2017. And this really was sparked by a book that I read over the Thanksgiving break. And I've talked about this book to a million people. And I kind of just want to send it to everyone I know because I think it's so meaningful for folks in the industry. So I couldn't put it down and I wanted to share it and talk to you about it and make sure that you read it. And so I thought, you know what, let me share a list of some of the other books that I read because it's always fun to hear sort of what other professionals, especially in those in the industry, think are useful. So not all of these books came out in 2017, and these, you know, not all the ideas are necessarily new, but I think my filter was, you know, what's specifically interesting to co-working, not just business owners or entrepreneurs, but people who are in our industry and working on co-working, and how might this help your business in 2018? So I've included the links to each book in the show notes at everythingcoworking.com/63. So you can get the links to Amazon. They're also available on Audible. And if you're not familiar with Audible, it's an app that you can use to listen to books. And I sort of struggle with this approach because I love to listen. So I listen to lots of other podcasts and, you know, anytime I'm walking the dogs or in the car or doing stuff around the house, I'll try to put podcasts on so I can always be listening, or Audible books, but I'll listen to them. And then I think I'm really more of a visual person than an auditory learner. So I want to see things and make notes and highlight. And even, you know, in the Kindle or iPad, you can do those things, but it's somehow not the same. So half the time I end up ordering the book anyway, so that I can go in and make my notes. But it's a good way to just kind of do the initial listen. And I mean, if you're like me, you just don't have enough time to read. And then if I read at night, I fall asleep. So it's a good way to get through books when you feel like you can't get through the things you want to get to through by reading the actual paper copy. So check out Audible if you haven't done that yet. So the first book is called The Blue Zones of Happiness by Dan Buettner. And I'm not totally sure I'm saying his last name right. It's Buettner. And this is the one I read over Thanksgiving that just really kind of got me thinking about a lot of things. So he's been doing work for over a decade studying why it is that some populations in some geographic areas live longer than others. So this research then led him to, and it was funded by National Geographic. He has several books on this topic. And so those are interesting in general, if you're kind of interested in health and longevity and that kind of thing. But then his research led him to ask some follow-up questions around what makes people happy and what makes certain populations happier than others. And a key theme in his findings is social networks, which is so relevant to what we do. And I will say, and I did an episode, I'll have to see what number it is, on loneliness. And actually, Steve King just wrote an article about why people join co-working spaces. It's not about the space, it's to avoid loneliness. And I'm, you know, so I think I mentioned this in the other episode that I did. I tend to kind of go at co-working from a business perspective because I think part of my value that I bring to this space is that I've run businesses. I worked for Kraft. I managed hundreds of millions of dollars in consumer packaged P&Ls. And I know how to run businesses, and I kind of bring that to the co-working space and help people kind of build sustainable businesses that they love to run. But I get really passionate sometimes about the sort of softer side of what we do. And I think it's just becoming so much more relevant as so many people work from home And this loneliness thing is becoming an issue. So episode 54, Fighting the Loneliness Epidemic, is mine. I'll put a link to that in the show notes, but also I'll include a link to Steve King's loneliness article from Harvard Business Review, which is really well done. So anyway, partly that's why Dan's work kind of really struck me. So he says in his book, your social network, made up of not only the friends you spend the most time with, but also your partner and the family members living with you, plays an immense role in your experience of happiness. Some evidence suggests, in fact, that this is the most important of all the rings in your life radius in determining how happy your life will be. You may not be able to choose your family, but you can choose your partner and your friends. Dan includes lessons from the research in each section. He suggests that for optimal happiness, you should arrange your schedule to include socializing for 6 to 7 hours each day. Now, this is the one thing that kind of made me crazy about his book, because he doesn't specify what does that include. Does that include meeting with coworkers? Does, you know, talking to other parents at soccer games, or, you know, talking to people at the gym? Like, what exactly qualifies as socializing? Because 6 to 7 hours a day of that seems unattainable. So, but I'm going to take that with a grain of salt and just say that his big outcome is like, look, interactions with other people are important to our happiness. So given that the average human can't accomplish sort of pure fun socializing 6 to 7 hours a day, I decided to interpret this as any kind of human interaction, you know, being at work, again, soccer games, chatting with people at the grocery store, etc. So if you work from home, this is a really tough quota to hit, unless you're on the phone all day with people that you actually enjoy talking to. And I'm not totally sure that phone interaction can be, probably plays a part in it, but I think that in-person interaction is probably more meaningful. So he also notes that research suggests that people find more success and greater happiness when they let their special talents or interests, a sense of purpose, lead the way in curating a social network. According to one study, joining a group that meets even once a month produces the same happiness gain as doubling your income. So this is one study, and who knows how well done that study was, but it's so interesting, this, you know, concept of, you know, what drives happiness. And it's always been said, like, look, it's not money, right? At some point, if you have enough money to get through life, you know, at a sort of a base level, more money doesn't make you happy. And this, so I'll just say it again, it says, according to one study, joining a group that meets even once a month produces the same happiness gain as doubling your income. And this group has to have shared interests. So the point here is that you can interpret what he's saying to co-working spaces. I think it so directly applies. So what we're doing really, really matters. And it matters not just for the solo graphic designer or the marketing consultant. It matters for corporate employees who are being sent home or that are working alone in coffee shops in between meetings. Every human will be happier with better social connections. And there's almost no better opportunity to facilitate those than being in a place of work where people spend a good 8 hours a day. So I'm probably not doing the book justice and sort of the tie to co-working, but to me, you know, it just, a lot of the work was around social connections, and those just are not happening at home for people, right? You have to get out. And it doesn't mean, I am certainly not the person who sits in a co-working space and wants to talk to people 8 hours a day, because I got things to do. You know, I want to do CrossFit after work. I want to pick up my kid on time. You know, I don't want to socialize. And I've heard some people say, well, I don't need a co-working space because I don't need any more friends. And you may not, but don't we all have a lot of, I mean, this is something I've been struggling with recently. I have a lot of friends, but I don't see them very often because it's really hard to schedule time with them. And so finding a place of work where there are people that you can be friends with, at least on some level, and have shared interests and commonalities with, can really make an impact on people's happiness. And so anyway, please read the book. I thought it was wonderful, and it'll make you feel really good about the work that we're doing and how important it is. And also just kind of exciting that society is moving in this direction, right? People are realizing this is important. Okay, so the second one is much less fuzzy. And I read it ages ago, and I remember a friend of mine from business school recommended it, and I thought, it sounds really goofy. It's called The E-Myth Revisited. And at the time, I thought it was some sort of like tech book. And I was like, why is he telling me to read this? But I got it, and I read it. And so it's The Entrepreneur Myth Revisited. And it was originally written in 1995, before e-everything was even a thing. So the E in the title refers to entrepreneurship. And the book is really compelling. They use a lot of case studies and storytelling that demonstrate the importance of getting to a place where you can work on your business, not just in your business in order to make it sustainable from a financial and lifestyle perspective. And I find these concepts are just timeless and for most probably warrant a reread every so often, as it's so easy for business owners to get caught in the weeds. And that happens to me. And sometimes that's the reason the podcast don't get done, right? I have lots of things I'm, you know, working on and kind of get in the weeds and sort of get distracted from, you know, what's important and what the priorities are and how to kind of get back to the big picture. So it's a great book, especially if you are still running your space or you're really kind of engaged in the details and you want to either do something else or you want to expand, do more locations, get investors, kind of get at a higher level so you can look at the bigger picture. This will help you get into the right mindset for that. So before you kind of finish your 2018 business goals, definitely read this book. And then the third one, I should probably constantly read this. I should read part of it every day, because it's a constant challenge for me. It's called Essentialism by Greg McKeown, and I recommend it all the time when I talk to people. Right now, it's like my all-time favorite book, probably because it addresses my biggest struggle in life, which is saying yes to too many things and not saying no to enough. And I think probably a lot of us struggle from that. We're enthusiastic, we're really driven, and we want to get a lot of things done and we want to participate. We want to be involved and we want to do things. And it's too easy to say no to a lot of things, both in work and outside of work. Like, he talks a lot about how like our automated response is just to say yes. Like, you know, you're picking up your kid and somebody says, hey, do you want to do a play date on Saturday? Sure, why not? Without spending the time to think about, well, what did I want to get done on Saturday? What was I supposed to accomplish? Or how do I want to spend my family time? You know, or even work meetings. I just had two emails this morning asking for coffee meeting, lunch meeting, and in San Francisco, which is I live in the Bay Area, but I don't live in the city. So it's kind of a pain for me to get in, and to go in for coffee is a big time suck. I mean, hours of, you know, drive in, park, do the coffee meeting, drive home. I've lost most of the day at that point. So it needs to be a really good meeting. But my automatic response to meetings is, oh, sure, meetings are good, right? They're engaging. I get my 6 to 7 hours of social time during the day. And I'm trying to get better at sort of navigating those to, you know, could it be a phone meeting? Can it be closer to where I live? You know, kind of how to manage those instead of just saying an automatic yes. It's hard. But anyway, this book is so good. He hits the concept of FOMO just head on and provides really compelling research and case studies on why doing less will give us more. And he starts the book with this quote, which will really kick you in the stomach if this hits a little too close from home to home. If you don't prioritize your life, someone else will. If you reach for your phone to check your email as soon as you wake up to see what the world needs you to do first today, you need this book. You know, so many of us go to bed with our phones next to our heads, could be to use as an alarm, which is what I do. And then it's like a tick in the morning. I get up and I immediately reach for the phone and I turn it on and I check my email. And when you do that, your mindset is, what does everyone else want me to do today? Not what was on my list and what's my priority. So I think many of us struggle with this. So the first chapter outlines the differences between a non-essentialist and an essentialist. A non-essentialist thinks, I have to. How can I fit it all in? An essentialist thinks, I choose to. Only a few things really matter. What are the trade-offs? A non-essentialist says yes to people without really thinking. This one hit home for me, as I mentioned. How many of us say yes and then figure out how to fit it in later? And then the things that are really important just get pushed back, right? So he says an essentialist pauses to discern what really matters and says no to everything except the essential. It's so hard to say no. This book will get you all geared up to try harder. And then he says a non-essentialist feels out of control, is unsure of whether the right things got done. An essentialist feels in control, gets the right things done, and experiences joy in the journey. So I can't think of a better book to recommend as you're thinking about what you want to accomplish in 2018. Okay, number four. This one's kind of a goofy one. I think it's the narrator. He sounds sort of cheesy. So, well, if you listen to it on Audible, which I did twice, so you won't have that problem if you read the actual book, but just know the narrator sounds a little cheesy. Just roll with it. So it's called 80-20 Sales and Marketing by Perry Marshall. And it's a great sort of good practical guide to follow essentialism, which is sort of bigger picture, because this is more of a sort of practical business book. So it's likely, as a business owner, especially when it comes to driving membership for a co-working space, you probably throw a lot of spaghetti at the wall and feel like more is better when it comes to marketing tactics. This book will help you focus on identifying what works and putting your resources behind it. And the 80-20 rule is based on the Pareto principle, which states that 80% of your results come from 20% of your efforts. So it's likely that there 20% of the things that you do are really driving the results. They're really getting people in the door for tours and helping you convert. You're probably spending a lot of time on things that don't really work. So this book helps you think through that and how to identify what those are. So I like it a lot as a practical marketing book. And then the fifth one is Content Chemistry by a guy named Andy Crestidina. And I actually met Andy, I think that he was the first event, big event that I held in my Chicago space when I opened really early in 2012. So he's in Chicago. He owns a digital marketing agency called Orbit Studios. And he was doing a speaking event talking about content marketing. So he's been doing this for a long time. And this is his second version of the book. But this is sort of an area of weakness that I see for anyone who owns a local business, right? Is content marketing and SEO and how to make sure that you're findable online. You know, and it covers social media, all sorts of things. So quoting from one of the reviews on the book, it's a primer into how marketing content, web design, SEO, email, and social combine to create effective marketing programs. So while paid digital advertising ranks as one of the most effective marketing tactics for shared workspaces, according to the GWA 2017 Operator Survey, paid activities should be followed closely by content marketing, which can take the form of blog posts, producing events, social media, etc. And email marketing can also be a powerful way to convert a pipeline that you create through those other marketing tactics. But how do you do a list and how do you deliver compelling content in emails to get them opened? This book is a really good way to kind of get your head around what content marketing is and how to help you think about how it applies to your business. So speaking of content marketing and email marketing, later this month, we're going to talk about sales funnels for co-working spaces, including how to capture leads on your website and how to set up an autoresponder campaign for your leads. So I'm excited about those episodes. And that's it for today. So like I said, all five of those books have links in the show notes at everythingcoworking.com/63. Interested in the Coworking Startup School? Then text CS School to 44222. Or find the link in the show notes and we'll give you some detailed information about how that looks. So it's good to be back. Happy New Year. And I will talk to you next week.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.